On this episode, we're talking with a real estate pro in New York who has figured out TikTok. He's figured out how to make his real estate videos seemingly not about real estate at all. So he still reaches his intended audience, but they have mass appeal. If you want to figure TikTok out and exactly what kind of content you should be doing on TikTok and the other short form platforms, like all of them, then this is the episode for you. We have Kyle and Sarah on the show today.
The Massive Agent Podcast. With lead generation tips and strategies to get you more leads and sell more homes.
I love to buy houses. I like to sell houses.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Wait a minute.
The leads are weak. You're weak.
I've had better.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Here's your host, Dustin Brome.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Massive Agent Podcast, episode 272. One hell of a podcast for you today. We have Kyle and Sarah on the show, and he has figured out TikTok. He's a real estate professional on the commercial side. He helps restaurants find spaces, and he advises them on the restaurant business. So he's doing a lot of different things, but ultimately, he's a commercial real estate agent, and he focuses on restaurants. Now, that could be pretty damn boring, right? Like, how the hell, if restaurants or restaurant owners are your clients, how the hell do you reach them on social media? And if you talk to anyone in the commercial world, most of them say there's no ROI on social media. A commercial real estate agent there's no reason for them to be on TikTok. There's no reason for them to be on social. Well, Kyle disagrees because he's getting a shitload of business from TikTok. Now, not too long ago, he figured out how to actually reach a wide group of people, which included his ideal audience, his target audience, restaurant owners, people who are thinking about starting a restaurant or wanted to sell a restaurant or whatever. He figured out how to have a big audience, but reach the right people. So he's figured this thing out, okay? And he has very entertaining TikToks that appeal to everybody. I like to watch them because they're interesting to me. And it's not just like nerdy restaurant business shit. He's figured it out. So what better person to talk to us today about how you can stop being boring on social and start appealing to more people in an entertaining, interesting way that grabs their attention and will grow your audience, while at the same time, the right people who want to hire you are in that audience. So he will walk us through what it looks like when he gets hired from one of his TikToks. And like, how does it, do they DM him? Do they call him? What does that look like? Who is it? What kind of deal are they looking for? He walks us through that. It's very interesting. So that's going to be pretty helpful for you to wrap your head around. And what's mind-boggling, he's going to tell you how just by sharing videos of his dogs, he's actually reached CEOs of restaurant companies and gotten business because they have a personal connection with their dogs. Wild, right? So I don't want to hear this, well, why would I get business? Why would anyone hire me if I post what I'm eating for dinner tonight or if I show that I'm at my kid's soccer game? Well, Kyle's going to share exactly how that works. Great episode today. And he's grown super, super fast on TikTok, built a fairly large following, 20 to 30,000 followers in a relatively short period of time, just by being consistent. So there's a lot of tips in there for how you can pick the platform that, if you're struggling to figure out which platform you should even post on, he's going to share with you how to figure it out. What should you be posting on all of them? Should you just pick one? What's the benefits, the pros and cons of both? Very, very enlightening podcast today. Before we bring Kyle on, you know, most agents struggle because the little details that you think are little details add up to be a lot of big, important things. You're letting leads fall through the cracks. You're having a listing presentation 3 weeks ago, but you don't remember it, or you don't follow up with them, and so they just never hear from you again. So obviously, they're going to list with somebody else. And when you see their listing go live, you're like, God damn it. And you knew that you fucked up because you didn't have any kind of follow-up plan. Well, that's on you. Your clients are hiring other agents because they just forget about you. And maybe you have no idea how many posts it takes you to get a client. You have no idea how many closings you even have and what's your average income per closing and how much is your cost per closing. You have no idea because you have no platform to track all this stuff. Well, the difference between the agent that struggles and the agent that is just having an okay, mediocre business and those that absolutely dominate and are on all the top lists and charts and awards and all the shit and selling hundreds of homes a year, it's a tool like Follow Up Boss. Okay, you need Follow Up Boss. It is a CRM and business growth platform. It's not just a CRM. It manages your entire freaking business for you. And this is what the most profitable, most successful agents in the entire country are all using. And because you're a listener of this Massive Agent podcast, they're going to give you not just a 14-day trial, which they give to anyone if you go to their website. They're going to give you 30 days to try out Follow Up Boss for free. And they don't even want your credit card. They don't even ask you for payment information. They just want you to try it because they're that confident that once you do, you'll get it. You'll be like, oh shit, this is what I've been missing my entire career. And I agree. That's what you've been missing your entire career. So all you have to do is go to massiveagentpodcast.com/followupboss, start your free trial, and see for yourself why the vast majority of the top producing, highest selling agents, teams, brokerages in the country are all using it. You're going to find out for yourself very soon. massiveagentpodcast.com/followupboss. And then learn what to expect next in this crazy housing market and how to communicate what's happening next and an action plan to your clients and prospects with keeping current matters. KCM is a tool that many, many of the top knowledge brokers, real estate advisors, better ways of saying real estate agents, are all using KCM. And you can get a free trial yourself today just by going to trykcm.com/bam. Let's get into our talk with Kyle and Sarah, who's going to share with you how to crack the code on TikTok and how to actually start getting business from it. Let's go. What's up, guys? I have Kyle and Sarah here on the Massive Agent Podcast. Welcome to the show, my friend. How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. I was listening to this show before we even met that time in Arizona, so this is a little bit of a trip for me.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, we met. Where was that? Scottsdale ish.
Yeah.
We had breakfast with Jay.
What was the EXP event? Some big EXP event.
Was that it? Yeah. No. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but anyways, dude, and since then you've exploded on TikTok. You've become like this TikTok influencer and it's cool. So I notice every once in a while, certain people who are just very consistent on TikTok, one day they'll have 4,000 followers. And then the next time I notice they have 50,000, 100,000. It's
wild. Yeah.
It's wild. And so, I mean, how long have you been on TikTok?
So I think I started in 2020 when we were all locked in the house and nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get under my daughter's skin, I was like, okay, hey, I'm gonna make a TikTok and just whatever. And it quickly turned into something. We were making stupid, like if you go all the way back in my TikTok, it's all stupid family ones that we were doing just to screw around. And and I didn't really lean into it until I would say 2022, like taking it a little bit more seriously. And she doesn't talk too much about my TikTok now.
Well, it's cool though, because what's really cool is, I mean, you're a commercial real estate agent, but that's not what you broadcast to the world, right? You're a restaurant growth strategist or a growth advisor, and you just happen to have your commercial real estate license, and that's one of the ways you get paid. Is that correct?
Correct.
So super cool. And so people that follow you on TikTok, they're just learning interesting stuff about the restaurant business. And I find it interesting because it's like the behind the scenes shit that you don't normally hear about. And it's thought provoking. So I love watching your stuff. But when did you see TikTok start to take off for you?
Man, it really started to get a little bit of traction once I went into the commercial real estate a little bit, because there was nobody in the space. There was you can see on the hashtags now, like how many different posts are with it. I think we were talking about the other day when I first got started with commercial real estate, there was like 8,000 posts that had used that hashtag or whatever. And now it's like in the 28 million or something crazy.
Which hashtag?
Commercial real estate. Just like,
really?
Yeah. We were kind of just treating it like Instagram. We wouldn't know what to do. So we're like, all right, hashtag commercial real estate. And somewhere along the line, I just realized that everything kind of happens on that platform at the intersection of like cultural lifestyle events and making it relevant to your, I can't stand this word, niche, right? Mm-hmm. So like whatever you're talking about. So most of my growth comes from when I talk about things that are relatable to people to go to restaurants. Like I can't stand when you don't sit, when you won't sit a party if they're not all there.
Right.
You know, like that's something that irritates me and people can relate to that. And I just always think the more you can connect on the relatability side, then they're going to follow you. And then they're like, what the hell does this guy do anyway? And you know, connections come that way, seems like.
See, that is brilliant. Let's spend some time on that, because that is a formula. That's a blueprint that you figured out that in order to gain the clients that you want, you don't have to go right at them and say, hey, client, let me tell you why you should hire me.
Yeah.
That's what most people do. You figured out how to loosely talk about the subject of restaurants in a way that has mass appeal. So is that something that you consciously think through before you create a video?
I try to. I try to make it as relevant as I can. And, you know, like all the different topics that I try to cover, one of them is definitely that. And the other one is startup restaurant stuff. Because I like the past, because I was in the restaurant business and I learned a lot by making a lot of mistakes. But, you know, at the intersection of something that somebody's going to find relevant to their lifestyle, to what they're into as a hobby or what have you, and that overlap is really, I think, where the magic occurs. Because if you're at a cocktail party and I just started spouting off to you about like lease rates and all this shit, you'd be like, what is this? Who are you? Like, why are you talking to me? So, you know, I tell this story all the time about getting deals because of my French bulldog. So I think the more you can create that degree of relatability, then they're going to flip back. Hey, what this guy's talking about some things. I think I know what he is, but let me click the link in the bio and see what it's all about.
This is awesome, because I hear all the time people say, well, how is it going to get me any business if I post like what I'm eating for dinner? How does it get me any business if I show that I'm at my kid's soccer game or that I have French bulldogs? And you're saying it absolutely does and can lead to business. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
talk us through that.
Yeah. Like it's a very salesy kind of thing. I may have even learned in my brief stint at KW, but it's like that know, like, and trust factor. Like, hey, I'm going on this weight loss journey. Okay, now I got somebody's attention who's also on a weight loss journey, who maybe they know somebody. It's just, you never know, right? You never know, but they trust you because you're opening yourself up. And now when you meet me in person and I look exactly like this and we're talking about exactly what you saw and my dog is with me, and there's just that, oh yeah, so you're not spewing some bullshit. You're kind of just letting it out here and letting me know who you are, because digital connections are just as impactful as meeting somebody one-on-one, I think.
I agree. More powerful, more leverageable, right? Because you could do one video that a million people see.
Yeah.
I mean, how long would it take you to meet a million people?
Cold call a million people? Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not even possible.
In my space, it's been dragging people along to try to do it. And I just kind of stop now. You know, it's not like, you know, if that ROI conversation makes me want to throw up. But like,
yes.
It's so interesting how they'll continue to spend this time and this money putting out, like, here are the latest, you know, this month's market stats. Okay. Like,
yeah,
you know, give me something else. And I think that's, people are hesitant, and I get it. But once you crack it, that's really where everything starts to happen.
Was there a moment where you feel like, oh my God, I have this figured out? Like where you feel like you cracked it? Or was it a gradual thing?
It was a lot of testing, because it was going against, you know, I'm older, right? So and a lot of, you know, the platform, I was like, at the time it was still skewing very younger towards that dancey type of pointing shit all over the screen. And I'm like, I can't be doing this. You know, I'm like,
right,
an adult. And then, you know, you start doing a couple of them and they work out. And you know, I like to put some humor in there and mix it up with things like that. But what really took off for me was this stupid idea that I had about restaurant menu items that I can't stand anymore. The anything divisive that you can pick, you know, that's like the old radio host, like the old sports talk radio host. This guy loves the Yankees. This guy doesn't like the Yankees. They have a great radio show because they're always fighting.
Yes.
It's kind of like that. You're just kind of throwing this softball out in the air and let the battle go on in the comments. And I think that's what the platform really likes. So I was like, I'm sick of seeing avocado toast. It doesn't have to be on every menu at every single restaurant. You know, right. Like what happened to like some chef creativity and things like that? And people had a lot to say, like thousands of comments. And that's what I think. What I led the whole series, like 10 or 12 of them, and it just kept going.
Brilliant. And on social media, people love a series because then they can binge it, right?
Yeah.
So is that the first time that you've done a series of videos?
Yeah. Yeah. I've done a couple and then I realized they weren't the right series. I'm still trying to get on that, like, I had some girl on my podcast the other day. She was talking about, Aviva. She had a million followers, talks about commercial real estate. And she talks about it being trend hacking. Like, how can you get ahead of what's like before the upswing happens? So she does things like, you know, Kim and Kanye, they just got divorced. if she's looking for a property to invest some of that money, this is what I would put her in.
Hmm.
So I haven't been able to find another series like that. So I'm always thinking about it, though.
That's awesome. So how many times a day do you post?
I try for 3.
Okay. Yeah. Is that just TikTok, or do you also do Reels and Shorts and the others?
Man, I have stiff-armed Instagram hard. I don't know why. I shouldn't. I just – it's not as fun to me. It feels very different to me now. But I sometimes cross over. I'm trying to figure out a formula to make them all work, because I do think posting the same on both is a little repetitive. And I like to create. I just have to get – I haven't found a rhythm with it yet. TikTok has just been more fun, a lot more engaging, a lot more fun to make, easier to make.
That's a really important point, that when you find a platform that you really enjoy, isn't it so much easier to be consistent?
Yeah. Like LinkedIn feels like going to work.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. I have someone post on LinkedIn for me, because I can't do it anymore.
Hey man, that's brilliant. I mean, the ChatGPT is probably the best thing that happened to me. Once I figure that out, to get into LinkedIn could probably craft me a couple posts, but I'm too wordy for me. I can get my stuff out in 20 seconds, not 25 minutes takes me to write that post.
Right. Yeah, right. So you post 3 times a day on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Are you worried at all about this potential TikTok ban? What are your thoughts on that?
My only worry is that I would lose the content. So actually, so funny they say that. This morning I paid somebody $32 on Fiverr to download all of my TikTok videos into a Google Drive folder.
Smart.
She's already done. I don't even know how she did it. But now at least I have the content, right? So something else comes along. I just think it's crazy, right? That's so nuts. Why are they're trying to ban it? Because Facebook has too much leverage trying to juice them out or something? That's what I think it has to be, right?
Yes, I've read some stuff that Meta is definitely behind this push that, you know, TikTok is unsafe. No. Apparently there are real privacy concerns in the app, and I use it. I'm fully aware. I know. You know, that's the case. They're just getting all my shit.
Yeah.
That sucks. I wish that wasn't the case, but it is. But yeah, do you think that the U.S. government will actually ban TikTok here in the U.S.?
Just that sentence sounds so crazy, right? Like banning
insane.
This like app called TikTok. I think with the government stuff, and if Facebook has enough leverage, even though they do the same thing, right? Like, aren't they kind of doing the same thing? Yeah. So I don't know. To me, that kind of points to, well, isn't it a bigger problem that another major U.S. company can push out a competitor? That seems like, by just basically complaining about it, like they're taking all the toys.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is pretty weird. I try to stay, like, I'm not too involved with politics, but that, if they're trying to come, like, into your phone, it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem, you know, are they China finding out something about me or about us? I don't know. I mean, I understand maybe government folks can't have it, but it seems a little excessive that the general public couldn't have it.
Right. So if that does happen, what's your plan? You know, you're the first person I've really talked to about this, because I've kind of just been like, oh, that's interesting. Like following the story, like wonder if that'll ever happen. Wonder if anything will come of it. But since you're like strictly a TikTok user and a heavy one, you know, what have you thought much about what you'll do if that happens?
I just started. That's why I was like, all right, let's start playing a little, you know, offense here, getting strategic, some chess moves. So I was like, all right, let's just download all the files and then see if I can get, you know, my guy just to upload them onto YouTube Shorts.
There you go.
I've been doing very intermittently. YouTube seems like they've got some, you know, if we're playing this game of who's got the most juice behind the scenes, seems like Google and Facebook, YouTube and all those guys are one side, and you know, Darth Vader is TikTok on the other side. So that's really the only thing I thought. I mean, I want to have it all. It would just suck to lose it. I would probably get over the fact that the platform doesn't exist, because there'll be a replacement sometime soon, but
totally
I would hate to lose the actual content.
Yeah, it would suck if that happens, but you're right, there are other options, right? YouTube Shorts is crushing for me right now.
Oh yeah,
I'm just putting the same shit that I put on Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, TikTok. I just put it on Shorts also. Same caption for the most part. And sometimes they crush there. And, you know, it's nice to have options. So it's not like you're dead in the water.
Yeah. I think the weird thing I've experienced with YouTube Shorts has been some videos will literally get like 2 views.
Yes.
And then they'll have next one will have like 20,000 views.
Yes. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very inconsistent. It's weird. Yeah. I'll have some that get like 2 views, 7 views, and then like, you know, 4,000. It's just, it's wild.
Got to keep going. But yeah, I think, you know, that whole thing is you at least learned a couple, you got more comfortable doing things. And I think short form video, TikTok, Instagram, Reels, Facebook, or whatever you want to call it, I think it's here to stay. I think it's like these, you know, I mean, like 3-4 minute clips, like we were talking about Rogan before. That's kind of all I watch of his podcast or listen to, those short clips I find on YouTube or
right.
So I think there's definitely something there. Now there are like clip agencies I've heard, like yep. they just specialize in making these clips. So I think the platform, it'll be reborn as something else, I'm sure, if it goes away.
Oh, absolutely. And you said something very important there. Like, I think a lot of people would say, Kyle, you wasted so much time. Like, you're just, TikTok's gone. But you haven't wasted time. You've been practicing and getting really fucking good at video, and you've been getting very comfortable and learning how to actually use this short form medium to hook people and talk about shit that is actually interesting to them and then convert that to business. Yeah. You can take that skill set to any platform and you're going to do great. So, you just can't do it on the black and white app anymore.
It's almost like a public speaking type of practice.
Cause
it definitely is, you know, it teaches you not to, you know, you have to get to the point, you have to get there quickly. And that people in commercial real estate, at least, and I'm sure a lot of people in Resi who are, you guys are so much further along than our community, but they're missing that the goal here is to eventually lead to meet you for a cup of coffee. You know,
right.
It's not a one-to-one replacement. Like, they're just making this assumption in their mind. They haven't tried it. They're just making an assumption because their kid has TikTok or their kid is always on Instagram that there's no way it could work for me. They haven't put the work in to find out that it will lead to an insane amount of meetings, business opportunities. You know, I think it's great.
Let's talk more about that right there, because there's a lot of agents who are frustrated that they're not getting business from social, or they hear someone like you that like all your business is coming from social. How does that happen? Like, can you give us some examples of how some videos you've done have led to actual real life income, real life revenue?
Well, the French Bulldog one is always one that has been out like in a couple articles, because it's true and it's the most relevant. I think people can easily do this. I was putting my dog, not intentionally, I love my dog, think he's cute, and I was just putting him in Instagram stories and posts and things like that. And I literally got a message from a guy one day. He's like, I own XYZ restaurant. I also have a French Bulldog. I love your French Bulldog. His name's Taco. And I love Taco. And would be, you know, interested in meeting you. I'm trying to get rid of my restaurant. So that's how I met him. He wasn't like, you have this incredible, you know, set of data that I subscribe to every month. Or it was because of my dog. And so I met him. And he wanted to sell his restaurant. He was getting out. Place was pristine. He just wasn't the right guy for it. I happened to know a guy looking for that exact thing. He was like it was a barbecue restaurant. And he was like a backyard kind of like tinkerer. Like, he was smoking things. He was selling things at farmer's market, things like that. And I just knew him. I wasn't like shopping anything around for him. I did a content piece that I had this place as a listing, walked around, showed all the equipment, 30 seconds maybe. He emails me. He's like, is that space still available? And it was up. I think we even got it done before the flyer even came out from the brokerage on that it was going to be available. Because it was just that to me, it's probably an extreme example, but that's a real thing.
That's amazing. So it's the personal connection, right? That's the missing component. I mean, first off, you have to have content people actually want to watch and learn how to have mass appeal. Because when you have a massive audience, the right people will find you. Quantity finds the quality, right? You just put out enough stuff, the right people will find you. But then it has to be more than that. It can't just be a bunch of quantity of, look, I just sold this shopping complex, just closed on this house, just listed, just sold, you know, check out my new listing bullshit. The person needs to be included, right?
Yeah.
People need to see you, and they see your dogs, and they made a personal connection with you. Without that personal connection, why would they have chosen you?
Yeah.
they probably wouldn't have, right?
They, you know, to me, I've done like little courses on this with some CRE brokers. It's, you're all trying to stand out, but you're all working your ass off to fit in. All you guys, all your posts are exactly the same. You see somebody do, they call them like tombstones. You just sold this shopping center for this. This is my 10th one. I'm a power broker. I'm whatever. Fantastic. But the person that you're talking to does not give a shit about that. They think that's your job. That's right. What you do. Like, you know, no one comes home from work. Is like, hey, I sent 25 emails today. Just want to let you guys know. Have a great day. Catch up with you later. Like, follow me here.
Right.
Like, that's riveting. It's just crazy to me. So it's easier to lean into what you already are and what you do. And I think taking pictures of your coffee, your breakfast, your dog, your backyard, your car are what can get people to connect with you on a very basic level.
For sure. But they can't only do that stuff, right? Yeah. There's got to be a balance. Yeah. So, and you've got to have both. What advice would you have for any real estate pro who's struggling to connect with people on social? What should they look at first? Like, I usually hear my content's not working.
Hmm.
What if you were told, hey, my content's not working, what would you have them look at first?
We don't. I think Gary Vee came up with this a while ago, and there's a kid around here who does this guy, Mike. He does this thing called Tell Him Mike Sent You. He's a Greenwich, Connecticut realtor, and he does a lot of like restaurant-related stuff, so that's where our paths kind of intersected, and we both live in the same town. But he has, you know, been like the mayor of the town, and he's doing this whole series now, which I think is an incredible idea, that Greenwich needs a donut shop. So he's going to all these donut shops. He's basically doing what I think I should be doing. Like, if I was trying to find, I should go, like, talk to these places and try to get them out there. But he does a great job of hardly ever talking about real estate. He's talking about everything else that's going on in the town. And obviously, you know, resi folks know, you know, schools are important. You know, access to public transportation here is big. Like, hey, you can walk to the train or parking passes, whatever. Highlight that type of stuff because that's, you know, people are going to believe that you have access to houses and inventory, like, if once they connect with you. But if you understand their pain points, like, how, you know, we'd really like to move, but my husband commutes into the city and we want to be around a lot of great restaurants, and you've highlighted all the great restaurants, you've shown them, hey, look, when you guys move to town, here's how you go about getting a parking pass for the train station. Like, stuff like that, real value. You're saving time, you're saving money, you're showcasing where these people want to live. And then when they're like, oh yeah, I can show you a house. That's the easy part. But mm-hmm. Putting a house first just seems like you have to go through all those questions, like, in reverse. Where's the train station? What are the schools like? Yada, yada, yada. Just put it all out there. Let it live there, I think, is the move.
Yes. And do it, and how you do it matters too, right? I've seen agents do that and it doesn't work because it's boring. Or they're like, let's go interview the dentist. That's cool if the dentist is like hilarious and, yes. and has all these great stories and shit. But usually it's just like, let's have a 45-minute conversation with the fucking dentist.
Yeah. And he's like, I've been here 35 years. I mean, to your point before, it's still if the content sucked, you're kind of, you're shot. But yeah, you got to be, it's out there already, right? Like, great artists steal, right? Mm. Like, they don't steal exactly what somebody created there. But if something's working, you can do your own version of that somewhere.
1,000%. Yeah. So what filter do you put your content through to make sure that it is entertaining, that it is interesting? Like, do you record it and then do you watch it back, or do you do that work up front before you even start recording?
Dude, I'm the worst. I have like zero process. I have okay. no process. Yeah. I find like when I'm in a groove, the only thing process I have is I'll block the time off and then just like game face. I got to do this whether I want to do it or not. And sometimes it's like, okay, this is going to be educational entertainment. This is going to be something like that just happened to me. Like, you know, somebody who ghosts you and then finds out that the space is available and then reaches out to you and you already got it to somebody else. There's a skit there. There's something in there. You can find a relevant sound. But in general, I just block the time off and try to make it happen. And if I'm on a roll with something, then I just save them all. And just, so then when I'm like, oh shit, I got to post something. There's one here. Just put something out, and then respond to comments is another one. So I'll just try to respond to comments, even my comments or somebody else's comments, because that gives you fuel to think about it. But I wish I had more of a process. Believe me, I think it'd be a lot easier.
Well, I think your process is that you just get it done. Like, you yeah. just do it, right?
Yeah, tough to hand off, but yeah.
So when you're about to do it sounds like you and I are very similar. You don't do a lot of filtering, but you're like, hey, this would be funny to me. This would be interesting to me. I would find this interesting. And then you just create it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. Like if I hear a sound, if I can't even think of a sound or a way to make it relevant, I'm like, I really like this sound. And then at some other point, I mean, you know how your brain works. Like sometimes you're thinking about funny stuff. Sometimes you're just not. And
right.
Something might happen. You're like, oh, I could use this sound for this. So I try to just keep a backlog full of like emergency content that I could just post real quick. Cause I do think there's a thing about going dark for any period of time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When you are, totally lost my train of thought on what I was going to ask you there. Let's transition for a sec into how you get paid, because it's really interesting. Commercial real estate agents, it's more complicated, right? And especially what you do as like a restaurant advisor who has a real estate license. Like, so somebody comes to you and they're like, hey, I want to buy a restaurant. I want to start one. I need help, with the direction of it. How do you help those people? And then what does that look like business-wise for you on the back end?
Yeah, great question. And I'm sure probably going to open some people's eyes because it is pretty wild. The advising, the straight advising part, like, hey, we want some help with our brand. We want to open multiple units. How do we streamline our operations? That's kind of project-based. You know, that's like, okay, you know, I work for, this is the retainer. Figure it's about 10 hours. If it goes over, we'll figure it out. I want to be a resource. I don't want this to be a burden. So I try to make it as, you know, it's got to work for both of us, right? People have been burnt by restaurant consultants in the past, and I hate that phrase. But generally, that's the easiest of the ways. But
is it charging a retainer for your advice?
You know, project based, everyone, you know, everything in, you know, real estate, but even more so in commercial real estate, because you never know when you're going to get paid, is how you're allocating your time, right? So if you're like, hey, I'm worth about $300 an hour, this is going to take me 10 hours, I'm going to charge them $3,000 and figure this out.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, so if you're going to buy a restaurant, very similar to residential, there's a percentage fee, usually between 6% and 10%, that gets split between the two brokers, or hopefully you're doing both sides. But on the leasing side is where it gets completely insane. And I think this is where there needs to be a disruption in this whole industry.
Mm.
So let's say I do mainly tenant rep work, meaning so I work for the, basically in the resi, like for your audience, I work for like the buyers.
Yeah.
So I am representing strictly tenants in the market most of the time. If I go there, we find a space and we do a deal somewhere before we get to like past the letter of intent stage, I'll ask for a copy of their commission agreement just to make sure that, because there's some slime bags that this might not actually be their listing or what have you.
Yeah.
And then that'll lay out how they get paid. So 6% for years on a 10-year lease, it could be scaling down. So like 6% for years, 10 through 6, and then 3% for the remainder, 3% for these years, down to 1% for these other years. There's no one answer, right? The average, like the rate is pretty like market driven. So 6% would be market around here. But then we sign the lease, right? So number one, the weirdest thing is there is no closing. There is no lease signing event. Like I'll just get an email from like my client, like, hey, we signed the lease today.
Oh, nice.
Cool. And then the office will invoice them. Sounds great. But now all that means is that person on the other side has an invoice and it gets put in there with the phone bill, the cable bill, the whatever bill. And you get that first half of your payment whenever they get to it, usually about a month later, sometimes 6 months later, sometimes over a year later.
So you could potentially have to send them to collections for this shit.
Totally.
Wow.
Which is nuts. Like,
insane.
You already have the tenant. They're in there doing their thing. So then you get your second half, depending on again, a lot of different conditions, like when they start paying rent or when their construction is due, but they're not open yet, it's going to be by a certain date. There's all sorts of stipulations. But I think it should be, you know, come from the restaurant business where I made something, I bought something, I added heat to it, I cooked it, I serve it to you, you paid me. It was hard for me to wrap my head around the idea of like, why am I waiting 8 months mm-hmm. for a check? I don't understand why the brokerage doesn't pay you. You pay me. Then you go chase the money down, right? Like I did the work, but
right.
That's like trying to get the cruise ship to turn around in the canal. It's not going to happen. But It's just crazy. It's crazy. I think that's why commercial real estate in particular is having a hard time attracting young talent.
Right. That's it. Plus, they don't like social media, you know, for the most part. Like, commercial agents in general don't think social media has a good ROI or whatever bullshit. And yeah, how are you going to attract younger people?
You can't. And you can't. I had an argument with somebody the other day. It was like, that's because you're thinking that they can't do what you did. But why do we need them to have the skill set that you had 25 years ago?
Right.
I just saw a video with you talking about that. Like, some guy was talking about like door knocking, and you're like, I thought this was the only way to do business. That's what basically is being fed into this business. Like, yeah, it's like not even like assumed. It's like, no, this is how it's done.
Right.
And to me, it's completely insane. It's insane.
Isn't that who's doing the training over in the commercial world? Is like the 65-year-old dudes that haven't, like, they're just talking about what they did when they were coming up in a pre-internet world.
Yeah, dialing for dollars, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I get it has to happen every once in a while, and I do it myself. But it's not just these blind, like, calling the property owner here and create content. Go out there and meet them and do that stuff. Just, it seems like a no-brainer to me, but I can't beat your head against the wall with it. I've learned that lesson.
Crazy. So in compensation for what you do, when you have a tenant who signs a lease, is there a residual component to your commission?
Sometimes. So you,
if it's written that way.
What's that?
If it's written that way?
Yeah, if it's written that way, you always put it in there, and it depends if it gets done. Also tends to be like a market, like some markets. I actually believe like Utah is very common for you to get paid on your, when you renew or when you add on to those extension years. So if you have like a 10-5 lease, if you re-sign for those 5 years, you'll get not, you know, half of your fee or whatever you got for the first part, but you'll get something for it. There's definitely some older school guys who are getting paid on renewals for like concepts aren't even in existence anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. So with all this, with all these different ways of getting paid and structuring the deal, do you like that? Like it sounds like there could be some real benefits to that as well.
Once you get rolling, it's not, you don't pick up on it as much. You kind of like, where's that check for this listing? You know, it's not that you're, you know, rolling in the dough, but you're making your money. So you're not, you know, and once you get more like established, people don't want to screw you over. And I think part of, for me, why I don't get nearly as many of those issues as I used to is because nobody wants me to go on TikTok like, hey, listen, don't do business with, you know, XYZ in Greenwich because they don't pay on time.
Right.
So I would never do that, but I think the potential is, I always want to do it, that's for sure. But yeah,
could be very, very entertaining content.
Yeah, for damn sure. I'll never get paid again, but that's all. That would be a different story.
That's awesome. So cool, man. What's next for you? Are you just more?
Yeah, you know, I think in our industry, you know, I think a lot of folks know in commercial real estate, everything is very, you know, everyone focuses on a particular asset class, you know, a market and an asset class. So I do national work, so it's a little bit different, but focusing strictly in restaurants, I just think that there's more you have to do. Like, if your job is only that you can find sites, which is a challenge in itself in commercial real estate, there's no MLS type system. I think you lose value. So I'm like rounding out my business to be more of like, I want to sit like shotgun with like these emerging restaurant groups and be like, hey, let me help you navigate this to where you want to go. Like, cause I've been in all these markets. I can tell you a bunch of different things. I can tell you which tech companies to go to. And, you know, I always make the joke that people are always asking me like, hey, do you know a manager? Do you know a bread guy? Do you know a POS guy? And for years I was just giving it away for free. Now I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of value here. But I'm trying to strike that balance of not overcharging restaurants, making the money I want to make, and because I really do have a soft spot for restaurants that are trying to get up and running.
You know, I hear all the time that restaurants are like the hardest business to start. What is it, 80 or 90% fail in the first couple of years? First off, is that true? But isn't that also true of any business?
Yeah, that's what I say. I say this thing. I don't know that. I think the stat is really closer to like 60%. But they... Are we tracking all these other, are we tracking all these other concepts, all these other businesses that people start and don't work out? But it's just such a low barrier to entry, right? Like, I have an idea. You could find a landlord who's not going to be so, you know, rigorous in reviewing your financials and your business plan, or just wants, you know, take a flyer on you being open for a year and that's all he needs. But It is a tough business, but because it's a passion business, people get focused on, well, I want to do this. This is what I love to do, is make this dish. But there's a whole business going on over here that you're not paying attention to, and it's going to sink you. I think restaurants got a little more savvy to that during the pandemic, but you know, being a good cook does not make you a good restaurateur. And you know, I think there's a lot to it. And I think if you do it right, I mean, it certainly can be proven that you can leave with, you know, 9-figure payday checks on some of these guys who are getting out of the concepts that they started. So yeah, I think that's just a blown out of proportion because people are just starting restaurants left and right. The good ones who do it right, they make money. The ones who don't, close. That's then, you know, they don't provide value, the food's not good, then they close. But my goal is to try to help eliminate that as much as possible, because sometimes it's just like one little piece of information these guys are short on. If I could share it, that'd be great.
Right. That's so brilliant. This is why everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs a mentor who's done the thing that they're trying to do, right? Because what's the alternative? You just beat your head against the wall trying to figure the shit out that's already been figured out. Like, I don't get why so many people are set on that. Well, it's financial, right? They're like, yeah, well, I can't afford an advisor. I can't afford a consultant. I can't afford a coach. I know what that mindset's like, because I was like that for the majority of my career. And strangely, you never fucking grow when you're in that mindset, because you're just trying to figure it out yourself, and it's already been figured out. But that's an important point, right? I'm curious about this. So my wife is watching this show. It's this British reality show where they have these restaurant startup concepts, and then they have investors come in, and so they pick the concept, then the investors are kind of like competing for to invest with them. Have you seen this show? I forget what it's called.
I would love to know what it's called.
I think it's on HBO Max.
Okay.
I'll have to text her. I'll like text you after the fact. And what's that?
Like a Shark Tank type of thing?
It's similar to a Shark Tank.
Okay.
Similar. Yeah, but it's super interesting. And one of the themes that I've picked up on, it's common sense if you think about it, is the reason why so many restaurants fail is you have someone who's great at cooking the thing, but they're not business people.
Right, yeah.
And so like starting a business and having a successful, profitable business is different than being a good cook. And you mentioned that, and I'm sure you see that all the damn time.
Yeah. I mean, it's no different than if you, like, I've never seen this particular interview, but like Mark Cuban or somebody will say, I surrounded myself with good people. I knew what I did well. And like chefs will often find, you know, it's a classic story. Great chef, rich dude comes in, loves the food. He and his wife give you $500,000 to open up a restaurant. It doesn't work out. He hates you. You wind up in court, blah, 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 blah. But not all money is equal. Like if that guy was Danny Meyer, or if that guy was, you know, an experienced multi-unit restaurant operator who now has been out of the business but wants to get back in, and you can leverage his knowledge, that's a smart strategic investment. So that's what I try to create, is these strategic relationships with folks like, hey, you said this is a pain point for you. I know somebody who could help you solve it, but that means you got to stay focused on the cooking, the hospitality, the growth, whatever. But sometimes restaurant owners take that like, oh, cool, then I don't have to show up anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's a business. You got to show up every day. I mean, I think, yeah, like any startup business, you got to be there for 3 years in a row before you really start seeing some traction.
Love it. I just texted my wife. Hopefully she gets back to me on what the British restaurant show. it's cool though. It's interesting. And there's some concepts that they have over there that I'm like, shit, I'd go there. Like, can we get that here, please? Interesting.
Check it out. I mean, I could use it and get some prospects from that.
Right. Yeah, I'll text you once she gets back to me. But dude, before we wrap up, we always like to do these rapid fire questions. Either or, you can elaborate if you want to, or we can just blow through them. And then at the end, we'll let everyone know where they can connect with you and learn from you and copy all the good shit that you put on Instagram, or that you put on TikTok, not on Instagram.
Not on Instagram, boo.
Not yet anyways. We'll see what happens, right?
Exactly.
So cool. First one, Facebook or Instagram?
Aren't they the same thing? I Instagram, I guess. I'd have to go Instagram.
Just okay. I think they're wildly different. Facebook. Yeah. Instagram or TikTok?
TikTok.
Stupid question. TikTok or YouTube?
TikTok. You know, to TikTok right now, it's just I know the app to edit and do everything, but I'm even though we were talking about getting 2 views on a YouTube video, I'm starting to get a little interest over there. So I'll try it.
Nice. Nice. What's cool though, is you found your lane and you're sticking with it, right? TikTok makes sense. You enjoy it. You are able to do 3 pieces of content a day consistently and it works. Like, how big is your following now? What have you grown to?
I think it's like 21 or 22,000 on TikTok.
That's great. Yeah. And more importantly, you get actual business from it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had CEOs from major restaurant groups be like, I saw your TikTok. And at first I used to be like, oh shit, that's not probably going to be good. But then I was like, well, he kept the call, right? Like, so it does work. There's no argument that it works. It's just a matter of finding what makes you, what makes you the most comfortable and that resonates. That's where the magic happens.
That's awesome, dude. Books or podcasts?
Podcasts. I don't know what it is. I start reading, I fall right to sleep.
Yes. I have to read in the morning. Otherwise I'm screwed. Podcast or audiobook?
Oof, that's tough. That's literally my battle every day when I get up to the gym. Should I listen to a podcast or should I? I find I'm more consistent with podcasts, but I like audiobooks.
Yeah, for sure. They're so different, right? Audiobooks are timeless and like, yeah. If you really want to dive in and learn something, and podcasts are always something new, always up to date. They're just different. Rental property or flipping?
Rental property.
Cash flow.
Yeah.
Burgers or pizza?
Oh, shit. I'm from New York, so pizza for sure.
Yes. I hear Connecticut has the best pizza in the country.
You know what? It's just different. No, wholeheartedly disagree. It's good. It's just, it's different. I don't think it's the best. It's definitely would stand out in the country, but I don't think it's the best.
Okay.
Hot take. I
don't know shit other than what Dave Portnoy does on his pizza reviews. So
well, he gave the pizzeria that's closest to us, Johnny's in Mount Vernon, I think like a 9-4. It's like one of the
really?
Top 3. Yeah. It's the most simple pizza on the planet. It's amazing. I might go here. Just saying it makes me want to go here right after this.
And where is it? Mount Vernon where?
New York. Mount Vernon, New York. It's just about north of the city.
Okay. Oh, shit. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the next question for you. Interesting. New York or L.A.?
New York. I haven't been to L.A. in a long time, but I have to go there for one day next Monday.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's warmer, usually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Baseball or football?
Football.
Pro or college?
Pro.
Nice. Mountains or beach?
Beach. Oh, beach.
Podcasts or vlogging?
Vlogging.
You like watching vlogs?
And I have 3 podcasts, so I'm like, guys, oh, watching or
whichever. So you took that as what you personally like to create.
Yeah.
Okay. How about consuming?
Yeah, I don't consume too many vlogs. There's a guy who crushes that. That dude, Tim something on TikTok, he crushes those vlogs. Holy crap, he crushes them. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-uh.
I'm going to send it to you.
I've seen it, but I don't know.
He does very like day in the life, quick editing. He's like a marketing design guy, and he lives in a very cool house in Brooklyn. He does it really well, but the whole get ready with me and all those things, I'm not into that too much.
It doesn't float your boat.
Not too much. No.
Fair enough. YouTube or Facebook Live?
YouTube.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Millionaire Real Estate Agent?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Nice. Uber or Lyft?
Uber.
Gary V or Grant Cardone?
Oh, Gary V. Grant Cardone, I feel like I'm in trouble. Like he's yelling at me.
That's awesome. And Gary V makes me feel like I'm not working hard enough.
He stresses you out.
In a good way. No, it doesn't stress me out. It's just like, fuck, there's levels. Like,
yeah,
let's go. Like it motivates me. It inspires me. It gets me moving.
The most inspiring thing about Gary V is I met him twice, about a year and a half apart, and he remembered who I was the second time.
Right.
I thought that was insane. And it was a nothing, but we didn't have nothing. It was like at a book signing.
Right.
It was like a one-on-one event or anything, yeah.
What's, I was talking with the last guest on the podcast, Shivani Peterson, her and her brother, Neil Dingra, they did an event last summer in Vegas, the Forward event, and Gary V was one of the keynotes. So they brought in Gary V and Ed Milet and Brad Lee and a few others. Like it was an incredible event. But they got to spend a bunch of time, like hours of time with Gary V backstage because he was there, for hours for the event. And she said the same thing that you just alluded to, And the same experience I've had when I've met Gary a handful of times, he's just so present. And you feel it. Like he's not thinking about his to-do list. He's not thinking about the next post he's going to make. Like he's in the conversation with you. And what's so wild to me is that he's able to do it, first of all, and that it's a priority enough for him to do it, and that it just seems natural.
Yeah.
Right?
For a while, I'm like, is this guy just full of shit? How does he know this? But that's a great way to put it. So present. And what was even more interesting about that was there was a follow-up. He's like, I'll have so-and-so get in touch with you. Like you're, and I was, you know, hundreds of people in line. You've been to these events. Like you can, and it was stunning to me. It was pretty impressive.
And they actually did get in touch with you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was about getting empathy wines in our restaurant.
Ah, sick.
So he was, had his business hat on for sure, but still. I mean, how many of like people listen to the show or anybody like have met a lead and then you just forget about them. You're like, oh shit, I never called them back.
Or
I never
all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Especially in a setting like that where it's like you're meeting, yeah, you know, all these people.
Yeah, exactly. Never.
So did you end up getting empathy wines in the restaurant?
No. You know what happened was? It was like this trade-off. So you had to buy like Gary, smart, super smart. So I was like, I would love to have him come down there because his brother lived in the town where my restaurant was. AJ lived in the town where my restaurant was.
Okay. And
they were like, oh yeah, that'd be great. He comes here all the time, blah, blah, blah. But then it was like, if you buy X amount of dollars of empathy wines, he'll come for like, you know, 10 minutes. And the number was, I think it's like $100,000 an hour or something he was charging.
So sure.
For like 25 grand worth of wine, which it doesn't sound a lot for like great wine, but this is, you know, $10 bottle of wine. Like, oh, you need like a storage unit to store the stuff. And what are you going to do with it? You know? So it never really happened, but the follow through was amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah. I think Gary gets like between 150 and 200K per talk.
Amen.
That's wild.
That is so wild. And he just rolls off his tongue too. Like, yeah, this is what I charge.
Yeah. 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 There's a reason why he's as popular as he is.
Right. But social media doesn't work.
Right. That's right. I mean, do you hear that shit every single day from your contemporaries?
Have you ever messed around on Twitter? Like, is there a big
commercial? Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Twitter's the fucking worst.
Dude. All they do is trash everything else.
And that's like, the app.
Yeah. And it's just the big thing is to trash people like me who are on, you know, they're like, good to see you over here. And I'm like, yeah, this is. So I went on a good like run. I think like February I went at it. Picked up a bunch of followers, but now what? I don't want to go back to that club.
Right.
Cancel my membership. But
it's funny that they're on social media talking shit about people that use a different social media network. That's exactly. That's wild. That's
exactly what it is.
Kyle, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you?
At Kyle and Sarah on everything. KYLEINSERRA. Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. Same across every single one. Yeah. They're generally awesome. Most responsive probably. The TikTok messaging is not great. I don't quite have that flow, but still Instagram probably is the best way.
Oh, there we go. Okay, cool. And we will link to your social media in the show notes. And if you're watching on YouTube, in the YouTube description as well. Kyle, brother, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I'm to return the favor for you.
Absolutely. See ya.
Later.
So many lessons to learn from Kyle today. He's someone that I love to watch. If you're looking for other people within the industry to follow who have figured it out, Kyle is one of those people. So make sure that you click into the show notes if you're listening, or if you're watching this on YouTube, look in the description and go follow Kyle on TikTok. And what's funny, he says he doesn't like Instagram, but then go DM him on Instagram. So do that. I personally like Instagram DMs better than TikTok myself too. So I get what he's saying there. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you learned something. And if you did, please share this with someone else. Share this with another agent who, you know, we don't want them to be left behind as well. So any agents you're friends with, your team members, your broker, your brokerage, in a local Facebook group, whatever you found interesting or helpful about this episode, please share it so that we can reach more agents and grow the audience. And I will keep coming back every single week with a great new episode. And speaking of which, next week, we are planning to reopen the Massive Agent Society coaching group. So if you are on the waiting list, you'll be getting notified fairly soon that you get first crack at it. You get a head start to join. And we're going to be opening that up for about a week or so. So there we go. The Massive Agent Society group is opening once again here next week. So stay tuned for that. Appreciate you guys listening. Take care.